Good afternoon, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Monday, November the 16th, 2020, as we bring folks together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, BuckmasterShow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out their revamped and updated website, now open for e-commerce, featuring the Bill Buckmaster collection of fine antique maps and prints, family owned and run since 1985. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and the website is moesgallery.com. Well, it was 2 weeks ago, we were on election eve, that we brought in one of our regular teams of commentators. They're back with us in studio. Seated to my right, Mr. Bruce Ash, who served four terms as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. He's host of the Saturday afternoon program at One Inside Track. Dr. Don Jorgensen is with us, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, how's it going, Don? How was your weekend?
Very nice. And we did something, we had a lot of fun last night. Arizona Arts Live has these holograms at the U of A, and when it gets dark, you can go and they project them on some trees along the way. It's all outdoors. And it was just a beautiful evening. We went with a friend out for a walk and looking at those. And, you know, we were all commenting, you know, we're usually down there once or twice a month to go to Centennial Hall for something. And it was nice just to get out and have some place to go and something to enjoy. So that was very nice.
And Don is also the author of a new book. We will talk about that book on segment three today at 12:30. It's Three Worlds, One Voyage. Don had that dream trip with his lovely wife, Kathy, to Antarctica. And of course, it happened in March. So I'll look forward to talking with Don at 12:30.
You wrote all of that between March and now?
I can't believe it.
Amazing what you can get done.
Are your fingers
sore? It's like 300 pages. Yeah, and it's really, it's nicely packed. Yeah, very nice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, one good thing came out of a quarantine, I'll say that.
Bruce, as I recall, you're part of the Moderna trial that we heard about today.
Right.
That is incredibly effective.
It is about 90, yeah, almost 95% effective.
And you think you got the real thing, not the saline?
Yeah. No, of course, they can't tell any of the subjects, but when some of the medical personnel had inquired what my arm felt like after the two injections, I said, well, and they said, well, you most likely got the real stuff and not the sugar juice. Mm-hmm. You know, I've felt very comfortable throughout the entire process. I guess they're still taking some testing subjects, and I would encourage anybody to call Quality of Life Medical Health Center. It's a great operation. It's very, very scientifically done. They take good care of all their after vaccination checkups and so on. I think everybody would be very, very pleased with what they find there.
I'm just curious, did you have any side effects?
No, not a one. You know, I normally have temperature, you know, body temperature,
sure,
in the high 97s, low 98s.
Yeah.
It remained there that entire time, except for the soreness in my arms, my left arm, which continued for several days after both of the injections. I was symptom free, just no issues at all.
It's really great news.
And I feel very thankful that I was that I was actually substitute hosting the show for Christy Simona and Wake Up Tucson, and happened to see Jack and inquired as to how to get in for the trials, and it was amazingly easy to do it. I mean, I sent one email, they immediately replied, they sent me a follow up with some additional questions, and I think the next day or the day after they were scheduling me for a for my first visit, a complete physical checkup, because they don't want to do any kind of physical, any kind of vaccination before they've had the physical exam. Very, very professional operation.
Well, Don and Bruce, 2 weeks ago, we didn't know what was going to happen. I think both parties, Don, were hoping for a very decisive election day and, you know, maybe a dominant party emerging out of this. But for the Democrats, yes, you got the top prize, but the blue wave, maybe it happened here in Pima County, but not nationally.
We did have a blue wave start in the desert, we'll say that. Now, before I answer that question, you mentioned the last time we were here was the day before.
Yeah, it was
the
election eve.
And one of the things we said at the end is that we both hoped for kind of a peaceful process and a very positive process. And we had that in Arizona. I think we had it across the country. I had the opportunity to be a poll observer. I was mm-hmm. inside one of the polling locations on behalf of the Democratic Party. Both parties could have an inside observer and outside observers. And what I saw that entire day, and I was there from 5:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., was just a symbol of patriotism, a symbol of citizenship that really gave me just a lot of optimism about the future. We had folks in there that were working to help people vote. They were assisting them in any way they could, inside and outside. There were no incidents at all. When someone got upset because they didn't understand the provisional process, for example, they were patient and handled it just spectacularly. So I want to give a credit, first of all, to all those folks that were poll workers on that day and to the voters who just did a tremendous job. To answer the question, yeah, we got the result we needed with now President-elect Biden having one of the stronger victories in 70 years in terms of the percentage of total votes and even the Electoral College victory, as strong as anyone, equal to Reagan and higher than Bush 1, higher than JFK, higher than Truman, many of them. So that's a clear mandate, and that's great going forward. Across the country, there are a lot of different views of it, and people will be debating for a while why there wasn't a blue wave. I think it's always tough to beat incumbents. Some of those victories that the Democrats lost were victories from 2018 when there was more of a disproportionate turnout of Democrats. This time we had great voter turnout, no matter which party you look at. And I think it showed in Arizona. We had, I think, over 82% turnout. I know Democrats did, and in certain areas of Pima County, over 90% turnout
was
for Democrats.
There was a big turnout here. Bruce, it was a good day for Republicans.
Well, this is the first election, at least in my memory, Bill and Don, where the apparent winner in the presidential had no coattails.
Right.
The possible loser in this election had an amazingly long set of coattails. Republicans have held and actually gained a seat, I believe, here in Arizona. There have been no states that went over to the Democrats. We've actually picked up three more state legislatures, a governor's position. We appear to have held the Senate pending the outcome of the Georgia Senate runoffs, which maybe we'll talk about later. And more Latinos, more African Americans, more young people, more Jews, as I predicted prior to the election turned out. The 7 million more voters, it's about 10 million more voters for President Trump than he had in 2016, and about 11 plus million votes more for Joe Biden. It's incredible. The patriotism that people did show turning out was really marvelous.
Can we work a quick call in here before we take the break? Let's try to go get Carl in before the break. Hey, Carl.
Yeah, I've got a question for the Democratic representative there. What is your take on AOC and several of the other people in the upper levels of the Democratic Party talking about generating lists and the people who supported Trump and keeping them from getting jobs and perhaps keeping them from getting into academia and so forth?
Well, you hear all kind of chatter like that on both sides when you look at the far left or the far right representatives. AOC is not in the upper levels of the party. You do bring up a great question and a great point, and that is how the Democratic Party is going to address all facets of the party. And that's by recognizing that they are a big tent and listening to all facets. But I think what we saw in the election really is the blueprint for what's going to happen going forward. there were progressive victories across the country when you look at some of the plans and ideas. Look at Florida, you know, a red state. Trump won the state, and yet they passed the $15 minimum wage. That's a progressive plan. You look at 2018 and going forward, one of the reasons Biden won is that they support the Affordable Care Act and health care for all Americans, where Trump never had a plan. And I guess one of the things I'm sorry about with Trump losing is that we'll now never get to see Trump's medical plan. How about that? You saw legalization of marijuana and decriminalization of some areas. So I think what we're going to see in the Democratic Party, in part answer to your question, is kind of a mix of both the centrist and progressive policies moving forward. But what the Democrats did is said, we want a leader that's moderate, that can take into account what's the best from kind of all sides of the party, both the moderate side, the centrist side, and the more progressive side, too.
We'll hear from Bruce Ash in a moment, but right now I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Thanksgiving is a week from Thursday. That means it's time now to decide what kind of pies do you want on your Thanksgiving table? What type of rolls would you like? Steve, the owner and chief baker, is ready for your call. Their website is Mona's Danish Bakery. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. I put out on Facebook on Saturday that the winner for the best blueberry muffin in town is Mona's Danish Bakery. Oh my goodness, that is a muffin like you will never have anywhere else. A huge top. I'm one of these people. I take off the top and I kind of save, maybe if I'm really, really hungry, I'll have the bottom later or right away. But anyway, I go for the top, and that muffin, that the head on that muffin is unbelievable. Check it out. Mona's Danish Bakery, open for breakfast, lunch. They're open right now. And again, their website to put in your order for Thanksgiving, Mona's Danish Bakery. Our Monday political face-off with Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. We've been talking about blueberry muffins during the break here with Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen, and we're talking about Mona's. Bruce, you shared that you also like the head of the top of the muffin.
Oh, yeah. I was getting, my saliva was building up listening to you, Bill.
Well, there you go. Anyway, it is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's doing such a great job here in town since 1985. If you get a chance, go to Moe's Gallery.com. The new website looks so good. And the prices are very reasonable for some really beautiful items for your wall behind you when you're doing the zooming. Don Jorgensen is with us, and we will keep Don over at the bottom of the hour to talk about the new book, Three Worlds, One Voyage, about his adventure in Antarctica while the news broke that the world was in the middle of a pandemic. All right, I want to pick it up with you, Bruce. Do you see what kind of a transition will there be with this president?
Is that where we left off with Don?
Huh?
Did we leave off on that with Don?
Oh, I think Don was discussing kind of the future of the Democratic Party.
You
Well,
let me start there.
Okay.
This business about this so-called Trump accountability project should be very concerning to everybody who respects our process. You know, I told you during the break, Bill and Don, I'm not willing to concede the election at this time. The president's not willing to concede it. We'll go through all the processes that need to be gone through. But when that happens, if my side is not successful, I'm going to be gracious in defeat. I mean, because that's what I've done every time. We dust ourselves off and we get ready for the next election and press on. This is not just relegated to the AOCs of the world. This is a very prevalent kind of a thing that's been going on in the cancel culture so much over the past really 12 years. It is troubling when there are direct threats made to public officials, made to lawyers who are now defending the president's case for his reelect, as well as authors and academics and other scholars. You know, depriving them of their work and of their living and of their honor because they have the audacity to work for or support the president of the United States. If that is what the big tent of the Democratic Party has become, then this is just as toxic a big tent as the Republican Party has been accused of. And the silence from the Biden administration, whether it was rioting and so on, and the destruction over the summer, or this ought to say something about maybe what we're going to face. I'm hoping that we all get along and figure out a way to jointly govern this country, because it will be split government at least for the next 2 years, and figure things out pretty fast. I don't like the direction that we're going.
But are we going to have a transition?
Yeah, we will have a transition at the appropriate time, and the work is being done on the Republican side through the different agencies and the cabinet positions to get all of that ready. And it's not stopping the Biden administration to be, if that's what's going to happen. They're already meeting with various officials in and experts in the different fields that they want to begin formulating their policy on. And they're getting the probably as good of briefing as they'd be getting almost in a transition sort of a setting. But there will be an actual physical transition, I'm confident.
Well, I'll agree with the last part before I go back over the rest of the craziness. They probably are getting better briefings than they would from the Trump administration because of the massive incompetence that we've seen from the administration. But they're not getting any cooperation, and it's just crazy to say that. You've got no support from the Trump administration. And once again, we're hearing this same denial of reality, the same war on truth from the Republicans. What we just heard was talk about potential targeting of officials, which is just kind of right-wing, kind of apocalypse kind of discussion on right-wing radio and all this stuff, where we have had and we have seen in the last the last couple of months are actual attacks on Democrats. And all you have to do is look at the planned kidnapping and who knows what else of the Michigan governor,
which Democrat, was a left-wing group.
The plan. I don't think the Proud Boys and the right-wing supremacists are left groups. Those are right-wing groups. They've been the FBI was
all
tracking
the people,
them. They knew
all
that
the people
happened.
Arrested are left-wingers.
And all
left-wingers.
That we have to, all that we have to do is look at what happened Saturday night with this kind of loser march in Washington D.C., where folks came from around the country, violated gun laws, brought gun laws, and started violence. And though that was the again the Trump deniers or the reality deniers that brought that, and a police officer was injured, a person was stabbed, several people arrested because of, again, one of these right-wing Proud Boy groups and Oath Keepers and whoever else were there. So,
I want to get back to Bruce about this transition. Do you see the president actually attending the inauguration? Could you see that?
I'm confident he will attend the inauguration. I think it would be wrong in our national tradition for him not to attend. There have been plenty of presidents who wanted nothing to do with the other. President Truman did not want to sit in the limousine with Dwight Eisenhower, and there have been other examples as well. But it's part of our tradition and our lore, and it should be done. Getting back to the events that have occurred, it's unfortunate when there's any violence at all. The march. For somebody to call it a loser march, this is exactly what the left-wing fake news media have been talking about since before
the
election.
They were there to support the loser of the election.
Since before the election, it was to depress the Republican vote, which they didn't succeed in doing, and then depress any sort of opposition with the announcement, not of a projected president-elect, but of the president-elect, as if the Electoral College had already met, in stark difference to what had been done in any recent election aftermath, and all of the Democrat speakers and the left-wing speakers on this, on all the TV shows and radio shows, and in the press. All they've been doing is saying, there's nothing to see here. Just move on. Stop this obstruction. It's time to get on. Biden's the president, and shut your mouths. And Republicans and Democrats ought to be very concerned on how votes were cast and the means with which we collect and collate those votes, because lots of things went wrong.
It wasn't the Democrats that were saying, get over it. It was the Republican judges that have thrown out every single attempt by this group of Trump legal folks who are quoting extremist right-wing websites, in fact, anti-Semitic websites, in some of their arguments. They've all been laughed out of court, and they're continue to be laughed out of court. And in terms of calling the elections, the process was the same as it was in 2016 when Trump had the same number of electoral votes and the popular vote loss. Now we have the opposite with Biden, 306 victories, 5.5 million popular votes greater, and he's won the election.
Bruce, do you see the president running again?
I think that what Donald Trump has created is a whole new Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I think that He is going to be a larger influence on the party than Ronald Reagan was after he left office in 1988. And I don't see him running, but I think there are already a great number of new Republicans who are going to be the leaders in this party and perhaps in the nation as we get forward, looking forward to 2022 and the 2024 election.
Don,
well, I think what Bruce just projected is a massive fight within the Republican Party, because you talk about other leaders coming up. Trump, if Trump has taken over and the Republican Party is now Trumpism, he won't allow any other leaders. So I think that would be an interesting fracture, and it's good news for the Democrats.
All right, guys. Bruce Ash, good to see you, and congratulations.
Nice to see you. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Congratulations on being a part of that successful Moderna vaccine trial. It's very, very good. And Don Jorgensen, stick around, stay in your seat, as they say. Your book, Three Worlds, One Voyage, is coming up. We'll talk about your exciting time in March while the rest of us were figuring, what the heck are we going to do about this pandemic? The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining. along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, the place to go for all of your holiday decorating. The poinsettias are ready. They have grown thousands of them. I don't even want to guess how many, but I know it's greenhouse after greenhouse of beautifully homegrown poinsettias for your Thanksgiving table. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. And now over at Zocalo Village, where they have all the great merchandise from Mexico, they have some of these really nice, they're handmade in Mexico. They're like made out of tin. Really interesting Christmas tree that would be great for your holiday decorating. Their website is zocalovillage.com. So Zocalo is part of the Green Things family, all on the 13-acre site on East River Road. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I've asked Dr. Jorgensen, to stay over from his appearance with us today on the Monday Political Face-Off, because I have in front of me a beautiful book, really handsome book, about a 300-page book, Three Worlds, One Voyage, Cruising to Antarctica and Trying to Get Home, in parentheses, during the coronavirus pandemic. Don Jorgensen, along with being a great guy, and he's an avid traveler, been to 40 different countries, really a bright guy, who is founder of Jorgensen Healthcare Associates, owner of Human Factor Counseling. Don has done worldwide speaking and consulting in the areas of change leadership, performance improvement, and behavioral health. He also was recognized this year by the Trump administration for his work on behalf of Shelterbox USA, which is a global disaster relief organization, and the proceeds from this book will benefit Shelterbox USA. Don, we've been buddies for a number of years, and I remember when you first told me you're doing this dream trip. It was like a couple of years out before this trip.
Right.
I remember you said, oh yeah, we're going to do March 2020. And, oh, I said, that sounds great. You know, I'm sure it's within the time frame of when you should go to Antarctica, but who would dream when we were kind of unraveling here on St. Patrick's Day? I kind of think of that as Monday, the 17th of March is when things really went south of the pandemic. You were south, all right, way down.
We were there.
Down in Antarctica. When did you first hear about all of this, the pandemic?
Well, we heard it in stages, but experienced in a different way. We left Tucson around March 6th. And during that week, the administration was saying that it's not a problem, nothing to worry about, it's under control. Only one person, Trump said this, only one person had the virus or died from it, and nothing to worry about. So we left on our trip, sailed off on the 9th from the southern tip of Argentina, a little beautiful little town called Ushuaia. And so we left that one world, kind of the normal world, then experienced 2 weeks in just a completely alien, incredible world. I mean, it really met all my expectations on the first day we were down there with all we did, and I'll describe that a little bit. March 17th was our last day of activity in Antarctica, and we were getting back on the ship, ready to relax and head back, about a 2.5-day trip back across the Drake Passage, which is a whole nother event. And that night, we heard for the first time that it's gotten more serious. Travel in and out of the U.S. was no longer allowed by the administration. We were told that our return to the port would be delayed by a day because of it. They wanted to make sure we had 14 days essentially quarantined on the ship before coming back. And that started the ball rolling, and it resulted in our 12-day voyage taking 18 days.
Wow.
While we were looking for a place to dock and a way to get home.
What was the point of departure going back supposed to have been?
It's supposed to have been back to Ushuaia.
Okay.
On the southern tip, and
but
we had planned
instead to.
Well, it happened in stages. First, we're told we're delayed there. Then we're hearing. Then all the rumors start because we had sporadic internet on a ship. There was it was a small ship. It was an expedition boat, so there were only about 116 passengers and 48 crew. So they had a satellite internet. It was limited. Information would come sporadically. So that night we heard that. Two nights later, we're told that that port is now closed until the 31st of March, I think, and so we weren't sure. And then a few hours later, we're told we're heading to Buenos Aires to dock there, which added an unknown number of days.
Sure.
And in the meantime, people are scrambling to change flights, to change itineraries. While we're hearing that flights are being canceled, you may not be able to get flights out of Buenos Aires back. I found out around that time that our flight from Buenos Aires back to the U.S. had been canceled.
Oh, boy.
And so we're dealing with all of that. So this was now into that third world. The second world was the beauty of Antarctica. Now we're trying to get home. So 2 days later, we're sailing toward Buenos Aires, and we're told that no ships will be able to dock, be allowed to dock in Argentina until the 31st of March. All right, so now we're planning a longer delay. Then the next day, we're told that Buenos Aires has closed to all cruise ships. We can no longer head there. At that point, we're told we're going to try for Uruguay, Montevideo, Uruguay. And we're seeking permission there. And at this point, I'll mention Oceanwide Expeditions was the cruise ship owner. They do these expedition cruises. They're out of the Netherlands. They told us that we're responsible for you. So if we are denied docking in Montevideo or you're not allowed to disembark, we will take you back to our home port, which would add another 3.5 weeks to the cruise
go all the way
to,
over to Europe,
the Netherlands.
Oh, my goodness.
And then who knows how you'd get home from there. So that's what we're hearing day to day until we finally were able to dock in Montevideo, Uruguay, on the 25th of March. And during all that time, trying to make sure that our flights were secure because you had to fly. There were only two places you could fly to from Montevideo, either
Miami.
Directly, either Sao Paulo, Brazil, or Santiago, Chile.
Okay.
And then you had to arrange, our second flight to Miami. And what the Uruguayan officials said during all this time, what was reported to us, is that we could not leave the ship unless both flights were confirmed that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that created an issue for a couple that we got to know very well. And kind of, as I described in the book, described our worst nightmare the day before we were heading back. Because the Montevideo Uruguayan officials, along with the U.S. Embassy, along with the dock agent for the expedition line, created what they called this corridor sanitaire, and the sanitary corridor, however you want to put it, so that once we had to have, of course, masks and gloves and a letter from the ship's doctor that we are all clear, and we would step off the ship down the gangway, be met by the officials, and I call them in the book the men in black because both men and women looked exactly like that. Black suits, white shirt, black tie, all of them. Black shoes.
Oh, boy.
They would check our documentation to match theirs. They would load us up onto a bus, and that bus would be escorted directly to the airport with police escort, with motorcycles blocking off the streets, blocking off the traffic lights. We were going 40 miles an hour, and they were not stopping. Took us directly to the airport. Now, we went the next day. Something happened before that, but this was the intent. Get us right to the airport, get us onto the flight, and get out of Dodge. And
well, it's a great story, and of course you had a great time in Antarctica. and you talk about all the wonderful things that you did down there.
It was amazing. When we got down there, I mentioned the first day met all our expectations. We did a sea kayaking adventure off the, and you
among
get on
the
these
icebergs.
Little zodiacs every day, get onto the sea kayaks.
Yeah. Do the icebergs. And
oh, we did all that. But on that very first day, we're out on sea kayaks, so you're 2 feet above the water as the humpback whales start swimming past you.
Oh, man.
In front of these incredible icebergs and these beautiful islands and all of that, and the penguins and the colonies on the shore. It was a beautiful day. The only strange thing that happened during that first event, we're out there just having a wonderful time in the kayaks, and I look over at the ship and watch it sail away.
Uh-oh.
And I'm thinking, well, this is a little odd.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Leaving without you.
Yeah. So you're kind of in the vast open ocean in Antarctica in a kayak. Well, what we found out real quickly is the ship had to keep moving to avoid being trapped by ice or getting hit by floating icebergs.
Oh, but
so they did come back for us.
Oh, my goodness, they're leaving without me. All right, Don, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Three worlds, one voyage, cruising to Antarctica, parentheses, trying to get home during the coronavirus pandemic. Don Jorgensen, it looks like a great travel memoir. I can't wait to see it or read it. And see it, too, because there's some great pictures you took as well. It's available Amazon, right?
It's available on Amazon in soft cover or for Kindle on ebook.
Profits from the book will benefit Shelterbox USA, the global disaster relief organization. Thank you, Don.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
All right. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. This portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You can start your planning, and I hope you do, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of great ideas about what to do in a beautiful area of the Southwest. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Again, southwestnewmexico.org for where to stay and what to do. Only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us now, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which for nearly 50 years has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark, how are you today?
Just great, Bill.
Joe Biden announcing his NASA transition team. Bottom line, any big changes expected in how this administration, the new incoming administration, will view NASA?
It's really hard to say because the people that are on the transition team are certainly experienced with the agency. We have former astronauts. We've got people have been in various administrative positions within the agency, and but there's still the question about the whole going back to the moon thing. There's really, I think the Office of Inspector General recently came out with a report that there's no way it's going to happen by 2024. You know, they've got to develop several spacecraft that'll fly people along the way. You know, there that haven't been designed or tested. So it's hard to say what the goals of the Biden administration will be. You know, they'll certainly have to at least make some modifications to the going back to the moon plan, but whether they'll refocus on another target or another set of priorities, it's too early to say.
Nuclear power plant on the moon could be coming, and coming rather soon, within a couple of years, to perhaps set up, be a staging area for future habitation of the moon. When it comes to nuclear power in space, I believe you 20 years ago were proposing something similar.
Yes. Well, something even bigger, because they're talking about a nuclear uranium fission reactor that generates up to about 10 kilowatts. And I was using one that was in a plant that would be 10 times more powerful. And the purpose of that reactor was to fly a spacecraft to Pluto and put it in orbit around New Horizons won that competition, but it was a great mission. I really didn't expect to win because it was a little out there, but there was a lot of fantastic technical issues that I thought we'd be able to explore and get some support to explore, to really open up the outer solar system to a nuclear electric propulsion exploration, which in the New Horizons took 9 years to fly by Pluto. Using one of those systems that I was proposing 20 years ago, we could put an orbiter around Pluto in 7.
Wow.
Because it's just got that much more oomph, right? And that program for developing that reactor was canceled, back not too long after that. And so the reactors that we're looking at right now are part of an existing program for making these small power supplies. And it absolutely would be useful to have nuclear. Space is a great place for nuclear power. You know, it's so much better than having to worry about the waste and stuff on Earth.
And you don't have a lot of neighbors saying, "I don't want that in my backyard."
There's a lot of space in space. But yeah, and frankly, I mean, for the amount of mass and everything, it's a cost effective way of generating power for a future. I mean, this reactor that I was using 20 years ago was also being designed for, I thought about being used for sending humans back to the moon. That was the vision for exploration, and under H.W. Bush, and the so. Yeah, it would be an important part of the infrastructure. I mean, for this size of a thing, you could demonstrate some things like in situ resource utilization, using the power of that for perhaps converting lunar soil to oxygen. You know, you'd have to bring in the hydrogen to make it water, and but it takes some high temperatures and a lot of energy to do. So it'd be for options, particularly away from the lunar poles. The poles are a little tougher to get to. The equator's easier to get to, but you got night, and so this would give you a good power source for when it's dark.
So the facility would be then fully manufactured and assembled on Earth, and tested for safety, and then they would send it up there, hopefully by 2026.
Probably not, but I mean, unless it's part of a remotely operated type of a thing, you know, whether we have people on the ground on the moon in 2026 is another question. But certainly, you know, with people to the surface of the moon, bringing a small nuclear reactor would be a really good idea.
Whenever
it happens,
these power plants would provide, I guess, enough electrical power, Mark Sykes, to kind of establish an outpost on the moon or Mars.
Well, depending on how big you might need several of these things, depending on how large of an outpost you have and whether it's something that whether people going to be there all the time, or are they coming in just like for a week once a year, or what? So it really depends on defining what we're doing there, and then we can figure out, well, then what are our power needs for what we want to do there? But I would see, you know, nuclear reactors as part of the mix of that, of the answer to that.
I've only got about a minute. Getting back to the transition with the Biden administration, do you see funding? Mm-hmm. Is it too early to say whether funding might increase or be decreased, or what's your gut on that?
My gut is that we're going to be in a period of chaos.
Okay.
because the federal budget is such a wild animal, particularly now with the trillions that have been, you know, spent because of the COVID, and more that needs to be spent. And then and then how people look at little programs like NASA, do they want to keep it healthy and vibrant and growing, or do they want to take a whack at it? And this is politics, so I would say that all bets are off.
All right, Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Welcome back to town after your trip.
Thanks,
up
Bill.
To oregonpsi.edu for more information on Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Thanks again, Mark. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
Thank you very much. Mark Sykes with us every month on the Buckmaster Show. That'll wrap it up for our Monday edition. We're off and running on this full week before Thanksgiving, and it's going to be a very warm week. Come on, record heat again. I thought we had seen the 90 degrees in the rearview mirror, John. How is that possible? Oh, well, I'll look forward to when it gets down to the 80s. How would that be? Buckmaster with you, along with John Couch, wishing you a great afternoon.